Hello. Pastor Salem's timeless biblical teachings through his messages touch lives all over the world. He had a gift to be able to share God's word in a way that people can understand and apply to daily life. I'm Mike Salem. In today's service, aired in 2018, you will hear Bill Edwards, president of CWH, share about the film Heart of a Shepherd, a remarkable story you can share with your family and friends. It is a perfect gift for church gatherings, Bible studies, family occasions, and more. Visit CWH.org to receive your copy. We hope you will be enriched by today's message, Jonah and the Fish, where Dad offers lessons on Jonah's life for us. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekends come, because that means all over the world, family of God gets together and we worship the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to have a sermon. You're going to like it. Even if you don't like it, you're going to like it. It's Jonah and the Giant Fish. And I just love to preach about that, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. So let's look then at Psalm 95, where the psalmist says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can be a part of your flock, that through our faith and acceptance of Jesus Christ, your Son, we become one of the flock, one of your sheep, and that you watch over us and that you are our shepherd. We just thank you and praise you for being yourself and for caring for us and loving us. Now we pray that in this service, many will come to know you as their Savior, and others will be encouraged. And may you have all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb's going to open our service today with a song, "Love Lifted Me," and God bless you, Barb.
Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe. Blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful living service due to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Could help, love lifted me.
thank you, Barb. And that's why I love to preach, because I can tell about that wonderful love of Jesus. And no matter how far you've drifted in, God loves you. And he'll forgive you your sins if you just come to him in forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. So we're told in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that wonderful love of God. But my dear friends, I want to tell you something else, that once you pass from this earth, then you have to face God. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you have to face him as your judge. And that'll be a terrible time. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, and I got one person wrote, say they liked the letters better than the sermon, and I just about threw that in the garbage. But we're going to read some letters, and we're going to have some preaching, and we're going to balance it out and have a good time. And whether we read letters or whether we preach, we're talking about Jesus, wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Jesus. Our first letter comes from Mandamin, Iowa. And writes, I enjoy listening to your service every Sunday. I learn so much from you, your preaching. I'm 10 years old, and I thank God for my blessings every day. Thank you for telling me about every important detail about our Lord Jesus. God bless you. Well, I was 10 when I was saved, and I'm going to tell you something. Children can accept the Lord, and it's a meaningful experience. My daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old, and she served the Lord all her life, and now she's a grandma, but she's still walking with Jesus, and she remembers the day she took the Jesus as her Savior. And so if you're a children or if you're an old gray head just about to leave this world, Jesus loves you, and you can come to him, and he'll gladly come into your heart. Here's St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Thank you for loving all of us and teaching us how much God loves us and that he always holds our hand every day of our lives on this earth. And that's exactly right. Jesus holds us in his hand. Remember what he told us in John 10, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he goes on in the next verse, my Father holds my hand in his hand, so that it isn't that we're holding on to Jesus and hanging on to Jesus. And if our faith is strong enough, we're saved. And then if our faith wavers, then we're lost. We don't have a thing to do with the holding. Jesus does the holding, and he holds us, and we're safe and secure in the wonderful hands of Jesus. Well, here's a letter, and I'm going to ruin some of these words, but it has just touched my heart, and it has got a blessing, I'm telling you. It's from Anaktujak in Pass in Alaska. And that is a little tiny town. Listen to this. It's 110 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Has 350 people in it. Has no roads, no railroads, and no waterways. It has no way into that village except by airplane or dog sled or your good old 2 feet. Unless you got a tame caribou, maybe you could ride him in there. And I just thrilled as I read this letter. And I'm going to read it to you now. And she tells about how they're worshiping Jesus. Listen to this. Dear Pastor Salem and crew, thank you for your continued Bible preaching. I've been listening to your audio broadcast since returning to this remote Alaskan Eskimo village in 2016. I try to learn from the Bible every day, but I get many reinforcements on Sundays from your services. Then I take some verses and songs, listen to this, to the chapel in the mountain church. That's the name of their little church. Wouldn't you love to go there? The chapel in the mountain church. And she goes to the chapel in the mountain church, and she says, to share with those 3 or 4 other worshipers who attend. 3 or 4 attend. She says, the man who served as our pastor passed away suddenly in December, but we continue to meet around a table, reading God's word, singing hymns in English, and in Inupiat, the native language of the Nunamiut people. Oh, they're going to write to me on that. God bless you. But anyway, my heart's in the right place. And the Nunamia people and get prayer requests and pray, singing their own language and English language also. Keep us in your prayers, as many of the 350 people here are so lost in alcohol and drugs and sexual deviousness. Thank you, and may our Father in heaven continue to bless his faithful servants at the Christian Worship Hour in Jesus' name. I just thrilled when I read that letter, and I want to tell them as they're worshiping with us today, there may be, what did Jesus say? Two or three are gathered in my name. There I'm in the midst of them. But there's something else I want to tell this little church up there in this mountain church. You're a part of the body of Christ worldwide. And when we have our worship service, we're all bound together in the Spirit around Jesus Christ. And you're a part of us and we're a part of you. And we rejoice and thank God for you. And won't it be wonderful to get to heaven and to get to see these wonderful people, two or three, gathered together, maybe four, always in Jesus' name. Just love that story. Well, here's one from Bayonne, New Jersey. We want to tell you how blessed we are to listen to your program. You help us prepare for Sunday morning worship in our church. We watch on Saturday night and just enjoy your messages, worshiping and glorifying Jesus. All praise and glory to our Lord and Savior. Tell your staff, thank you for us. We love you all and thank you again in Jesus' name. And of course, I've written to these folks, and we love you too. And that's what draws us together, the wonderful love of Jesus. That wonderful Jesus who's God is love. God has a lot of different attributes, but the one great attribute of God is love. And that's why the Christian Worship Hour carries on, and that's why you pray, and that's why you send your gifts, is because we love one another and we love the lost, those who don't know Jesus yet, and we want you to come to know Jesus. We want you to be a part of the family of God. And oh, if you can do that, you'll find joy and happiness. I don't say you're going to get rich. You're going to get healthy. That's not in the Bible. But you're going to have peace and joy. And like St. Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, there be therewith to be content. He had a lot of money different sometimes and didn't have anything other times in prison. He was always content because he had Jesus. Helena, Montana, your program is like icing on the cake. Reading the Bible, God is right there speaking to us. How can we beat that? We eat three times a day, so why can't we read three times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening, before we go back to bed? And that's exactly right. And I'll tell you why you're feeding. That's why you get strength when you listen to the Christian Worship Hour. You get strength because we're preaching the Bible. All the power and the strength comes from God's word. It's not anything that we say or do. When we sing about Jesus. And when we preach about Jesus and the wonderful word of God. Because the word of God will abide forever. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's word is going to be there forever. And after those great mountains in Alaska, and I was on a tour one time, and when they talk about mountains, they're not talking about molehills. They're huge, monstrous things. But after they're gone, they're all going to be gone with a fervent heat. The Bible's going to stand. The Word of God stands. That's why we preach it. That's what our salvation is settled on. Here's Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I really respectfully request any literature you might or could send me that would help me on my journey to be a better Christian. And so we sent him some scripture, and we sent him the new song. Now, the new song is a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month is the month of May, is Let Your Light Shine. And so if you want to have that, you just get your pencil and paper. Then in a few minutes now, I'm going to give the address, and you can write to us. And it's free and postpaid, and you can help grow in grace. One more letter. Rogers, Minnesota. Listen to this. I've been a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down, listen to this, for nearly 50 years. And he says, each day gets me closer to doing a happy dance on the streets of gold. There he could have been just as crabby as an old shoe. And he's rejoicing in Jesus. He's going to dance up there. And I wrote to him, I says, I use a walker. And I'll get rid of my walker and we'll do a happy dance together. You know what he did? Somehow, I don't know how to work all this stuff, but Lisa in the office got it. He sent a picture of a bunch of little people dancing all together. And boy, did it ever make me feel young. But when I took one step, I knew I wasn't so young anymore. Well, we're so glad that we were right, and we're just thankful for that. Now we have something special. We have Bill Edwards is a member of our board, and he has an announcement about this film, this wonderful, wonderful film. So God bless you, Bill.
Thank you, Pastor. The most important decision you will make in your entire lifetime is, where will you spend eternity? Christian Worship Hour has produced a film, Heart of a Shepherd, that reveals the answer. This is an inspiring, heartwarming story of our own Pastor Salem. But most importantly, it will guide you, your family, and your friends to a glorious eternity. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available through the Christian Worship Hour. May our Lord bless you as you make life's most important decisions.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you. And I want to say to this, to all of you, all you Christians, all of us banded together, pray for this film. And I'll tell you why you should pray for it, because we carry that wonderful message on accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful invitation. And we spend a lot of time and money on this and a lot of prayer and work, and it's all for the glory of God. So now we need your prayers, and that's coming out right now, this wonderful story about how we can come to Jesus. And Jesus is not willing, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants you to come. And when he died on the cross, he could see you. He could see your face. And you're that important to him. But you have to open your heart. And you say, I don't know how to open my heart. How do you open your heart? And you simply this. Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to receive him. And you know how you receive him? You receive him like anybody else. You just ask him, come into your heart. Just like somebody knocks on your door and you say, yes, come in, please come in. And Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. And I suspect that all over the world, he's speaking to a lot of hearts right now. And he's saying, I want to come in, but I can't come in until you ask me in. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner and I ask you to come in and take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins and follow you as best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. I was 10 years old. Jesus has been with me almost 87 years, never failed me once. Well, we'd like to hear from you. And if you'd like to help us in this ministry, we can't do it by ourselves. We have to have your prayers. We have to have your gifts. God will have to have a lot of them. So what we ask you to do is think, when you just say, now, dear Jesus, should I help this ministry? Is this something you want me to invest in and put your money in? And if he says yes, then you support and help us the work. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I want to repeat that for you shortwave people because you don't have a screen there. And we'd love to hear from you shortwave people and some of you shortwave people in the persecuted churches. And we'd love to hear from you because we pray for you every week. We pray for a different country. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And here's something else. You want to do some magic, you say, oh, I'd like to give them some money. I wish I could give them some money right now. Well, you can. Yes, you just get to your computer. Now, I don't know how to do this, but all the rest of you are smarter than I am on that. If you don't know, get some young person. They can do that, whiz that thing like 60. If you're old and you don't know how to do it, get your granddaughter, your grandson. He'll fix it for you. And you get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then it'll say donate. and you punch that button, donate, and you give wherever you are, if you're in Norway, or if you're in Japan, if you're in Germany, it doesn't matter where. And you can put your money in, and we'll get it in American money, and we'll use it for payment for our bills and carry on this work. So we hope that you'll do that. And you say, yeah, well, what if I send you a lot of money? I wanted to make a big gift. How do I know that you're going to just not use it for yourself? Maybe you'll make a trip. Maybe you'll read about Alaska. Maybe you go up and visit those people who want to go up there. How do I know how you spend your money? We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books, and do they drive you crazy? About 3 days, they're rummaging around in our place, just drive us crazy. But we're happy to do that because we account for every penny we get and every penny we spend before God and before man. So you write to us. Now, if you want that new song, it's a little Bible study this week or this month of May. It's about Let Your Light Shine. And we have people use it for Sunday school. We have some people use it for in retirement homes. We have young people who say they use it for their Bible studies. You write and for the new song, and you write again one more time, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. So now I'm going to pray. And then you pay as God lays on your heart, and Jan's going to play. And when she plays, it's real easy to give. So, dear Lord, we thank you now for almost 40 years. People have stood by. A lot of them are in heaven now, Lord. They've gone to their reward. But you always raise up new people coming in. Yes, I'll pray for that. I'll pray for that ministry. I'll pay for that film. I'll play a pay so that it can go all over the world. And so it goes way up in Alaska, 3 or 4 people gathered around a table all alone. So thank you for your gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Our scripture today is taken from Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. And we're beginning with the first verse. And then in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Vietnam. Every month, every week, we pray for a different church, a different area. Today it'll be Vietnam. So the scripture tells us, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He's been swallowed by this giant fish. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed around me, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was wet before me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. Dear God, what a beautiful story. It just shows your great might and power. You can do all things. And it shows also your love and your forgiveness. Poor Jonah. Dear God, he just didn't want to obey you. And sometimes I'm like that, and some maybe others, I don't know. But he just didn't listen to you, and you had to deal with him. And when he repented, you took him back. And such a wonderful God you are. And help us, Lord, to be like, not to be like Jonah and run away from your will, but help us to be open to your will, to do whatever you call us to do. And then, Lord, you can birth further your kingdom, and you can bless the people, and you can bring the lost to Jesus, and you can accomplish great and wonderful things in the name of your Son. Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam today. Some of them are in awful places, some of them giving their life, Lord. And some of the little children losing their dads and maybe their moms, and they don't know where anybody is, and everything is turmoil. And there's so much wickedness, and churches are torn apart. And so we're just praying, Lord, that you'll comfort their hearts, and we know that you're with them. And help them, those in the persecuted church, to know, Lord, the whole world is watching, and we're drawing from them, and you're making us stronger, and you're calling us to more dedication when we see your dedication. And we love you, and we pray for you, and you're going to wear the martyr's crown, and we're going to see you in glory someday. So, dear Jesus, help the persecuted church in Vietnam. Now, bless us in this service. And we're just praying that many will come to Jesus. And maybe there's some people, some Christians drifted away like Jonah, running away from God. And then he came back, and they'll come back. This is your service. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to sing for us. Always nice to hear Hank sing. Going to sing Above All. God bless you, Hank.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you know. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone. Michael goes trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above.
Thank you, Hank. Always good to hear you sing about Jesus, that wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I've said it so many times, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. To know him is to love him. And so that's our mission of the Christian Worship Hour, to bring you to Jesus. Finding salvation and peace and help and strength and a joy that the world can't give. That's what the dear Savior does. Today we're thinking about the work of God in the Old Testament, about Noah, about Jonah and the giant fish. And I don't know how many times I've preached about this in 74, almost 75 years now, just a joy to my heart, because there's so many good lessons in it. And when you talk about Jonah and the giant fish, the fish always takes center stage. And that is not the way it should be. The mistake is because Jonah is the center of attention, and Jonah is the one we're going to look at, not the fish so much, or the giant monster, whatever it was. Jonah is a Jew. And God tells him to go to the Gentile city called Nineveh and preach so the people might be saved. Now, the Jew and the Gentile had nothing to do with each other except they hated each other. Each hated the other as much as the other. That's the miracle of the church, because in the New Testament through Jesus, the Jew and the Gentile hold hands and they love each other, but not in the Old Testament. And so here's the problem. Jonah hated the Gentile Nineveh with a purple passion. He didn't want to go and preach to them because heaven forbid they might repent and turn to God and be spared. And he didn't want them to be spared. He wanted them to go to hell, and the sooner the better. That's exactly how he felt. Now here God is telling him, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the wonderful word of God to these people. And God knows that Jonah's thinking God might show mercy on him, and he has a problem. And so what does he do? Well, instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah goes the exact opposite direction. Good old Jonah, just like a lot of us. I don't know what I would have done. I'd probably run just as hard as Jonah. Instead of going east to Nineveh, Jonah goes west to Tarshish. And so he goes to the port of Joppa, and he gets on board a ship. And he's not going to Nineveh. He gets his ticket, and he goes heads for Tarshish. The Bible says, he went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that God didn't know where he was, because the story is filled with God talking with him. God knew where he was all the time. But when it says he went out from the presence of the Lord, that is, he went out of God's will. He's defying God. And he just turns his back on God and goes his own way. And he gets on this ship, and he's going to head west. And west he went. And I can tell you this, friend, you can always run away from God, but you can't run far. And eventually you're going to run into him, just sure as the world. Before long, the ship found itself then in a violent storm. And these men who were running the ship, they were Gentiles. And they knew somebody wicked was on that ship, because that's why they were having trouble. And so they cast lots to see who was causing the trouble. Sure enough, fell on Jonah. He's probably somewhere sleeping, see, hiding from God. And it fell on Jonah. And so what did they do? There's only one thing to do. Throw him overboard. And they heave him overboard. And do you know what? God had a big old fish there. Now, I don't know if it was a fish or a sea monster. It doesn't make a bit of difference. And Jonah's cast overboard. And just wouldn't you know it, there's a giant fish there waiting. And he's hungry and he's got his mouth open just at the exact time. And Jonah's taken in one big gulp. And he's inside that sea monster 3 days and three nights. And then God intervened again because Jonah prayed. Jonah was sick of the fish, and the fish was sick of him. He couldn't digest him. And Jonah had learned a lesson. He's going to listen to God from now on. And so we read, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. What did God say the second time? Said the same thing he said the first time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah had learned a lesson. He did what God told him to do, and Jonah went to Nineveh. And so Noah preaches, and for 3 days he stood on the street corners, and he preached the message of judgment from God. For 3 days, we're told, he preached to a populace which included 120,000 children who didn't know the right hand from their left hand. That is, they didn't know anything about God. They didn't know anything about Jehovah. They're just their false god. And he preached, and you know what happened, wouldn't you know it? The king heard the message, and he repented. And the king of Nineveh himself covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat on an ash pile. And the king sent word throughout the kingdom, repent and fast and turn to God. And God heard it, and he spared Nineveh, that great wicked city, by the grace of God. Now that's the story of Jonah and the whale and the giant fish. Now what lessons does this teach us? It teaches lots of things. It teaches us, first of all, God has a plan for every one of us. It's a two-part plan. The first part of the plan is that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. That's the first step. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That enemy is going to go to hell. If it die, you die in your sins, you're going into hell. That's what Jesus said. And I'm glad to repeat it, because that's what my master taught me to preach. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if we die in our sins, we're going to go into hell. But the Bible tells us also, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to come to him. But if we refuse, then we take our place in the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So I wonder, he is not willing then. I wonder, have you made that first choice? Have you ever accepted Jesus? That's the first plan, the first part of his plan. Now, after we are saved, then God has a special plan for us to do. As believers, as followers, it's a detailed plan for God. And you are important. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you have seminary education or if you can't even read. God has a plan for your life. If you've accepted Him, just as God had a plan for Jonah, and Jonah was to preach repentance and revival. God had a plan for me, and I stumbled around a lot, but I think it was preaching, and that's what I do. And so Jonah didn't obey God, see? He didn't obey that plan. He knew what it was. And I'm going to tell you, friends, you can disobey God if you want to. God has made us as free moral agents. You don't have to receive Jesus. You can reject Jesus. You don't have to tell, you can take the Lord's name in vain. You can do that if you want to. You can trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ. You can refuse to do His will. He'll respect your will. So Jonah refuses to obey God. That was his problem. And he says he went out from the presence of the Lord. He leaves God's plan for his life. Jonah does not want to obey God. He wants to go west instead of east. He wants to go to the city of a city called Joppa and move and sail to Tarshish. He doesn't want to go to this place where these Gentiles called Nineveh. And listen, I wanted this to tell you the first thing then. You can obey God or you can disobey God. You can do as you choose. You have that choice. And Jonah sure chose wrong here. If you want to disobey God, Satan will be your friend. And he'll help you. He'll have a boat for you. He had a boat for Jonah. He had a boat for God. He'll help you find a way out with all great pleasure. If you don't want to go to church, Satan will help you get an excuse for not going. He'll give you a reason or something like that. Never a reason, but an excuse. If you don't want to give God a tithe, he'll help you to think of it in the wrong way, and he'll say, oh, it's legalistic and it's Old Testament, it's for the Jew, it isn't for the Gentiles, and it doesn't apply today. If you want to go out of God's will, Satan is going to help you every time. If you don't want to live the separated life, Satan will help you. He'll make you think evil is good and good is evil. If you want to disobey God, he'll have a boat for you. Count on it. So just be careful that God has a plan for you. Don't miss it. Don't take the wrong boat. And then the second thing is, God has all power. Some people have a problem with Jonah and the giant fish. By the way, the word is costus, which means a giant sea monster. We are told that God prepared a fish, so it was a special creation that God made to swallow Jonah. So don't choke on that fact. Don't ever put a limitation on God's power. God created the whole universe by just His own word. Out of nothing, He makes something. I got a letter on evolution. I'm going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. If you want to believe in evolution, He's got that story, but there's nothing to back it up, and it is not a science. So don't limit God because an evolutionist can't figure out where you got substance, where did you get material, where did you get a mind, where did you get an intellect. And so this with Jonah, if you don't want to follow God, he'll figure out, the devil will help you. He'll take care of it. Don't try to explain the miracles of God. God has the power to do it, no question about it. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that giant fish. And the only question I have about it is those 3 days and 3 nights, was Jonah dead or alive? He could have been dead. You know, I have a feeling that Jonah died in that giant fish, and when they have vomited him up, God resurrected his life and gave him new life. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 40? For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was 3 days in the heart of the earth. He was dead, and he was raised again. If he can do that for Jesus, he can do that for anybody. And John, look at, for instance, Lazarus was dead 4 days in the tomb. God raised him from the dead. No problem for God. But it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he lived all that time or he was dead all that. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's just something to use a little time for my sermon, else I'll run out of time, see. So I threw that in. Either way, it's a miracle. If Jonah stayed alive, it's a miracle. If Jonah was raised from the dead, it's a miracle. Never underestimate the power of God Almighty. And then the third thing I put down is God is a God of the second chance. I love to preach the wonderful word of God. It's the gospel of the second chance. Look at here, the mercy and grace of God. We'll see it when we see Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. That's grace. You can take all the religions of the world, and there's only one religion that has grace, and that's Christianity, Jesus. None of the other religions know even what you're talking about, and half of these people that are Christians don't know what you're talking about, grace. The grace is greater than all of our sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My grace is sufficient for thee. And that wonderful grace gives us a second time. It gives a second chance. God is always doing that. Look at David, sinned terribly. David repented, and God gave him a second chance. Look at Peter, how he swore up and down. He didn't just say he didn't know him. He swore, he cursed, said he didn't even know good Jesus Christ. And yet, listen to him. He repented in bitter tears. God gave him a second chance. And Jesus recommissioned him, and he said, go feed my sheep. And Peter went and fed his sheep until they put him to death on a cross, head down, because he said he didn't want to be crucified the same way as Jesus, because he wasn't worthy of it. That second chance, that's why I love to preach, that second chance. God has given me a second chance 100,000 times. How many times have I have gone to him and said, dear Father in heaven, I confess my sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and forgive us all honor and forgive us all our righteousness. I have failed Jesus over and over and over, and I've used my second chance and my third chance and my hundredth and my thousands. I wouldn't have any idea. But every time I go to him, he forgives me, and I go on my way rejoicing. And that's why I just love to preach the wonderful gospel, because I can tell you, I don't care what you've done. And the one thing that people always like to always say, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong, and I didn't anyway. It was ignorance, I could see it, but I knew it was wrong. That doesn't make a bit of difference. His grace is sufficient. He'll forgive you. He'll give you the second chance or the thousandth chance. And then he was not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish. Shepherd, God said, God asked Jonah a question. Jonah doesn't want to go. He's dead set against it. And God says, should not I have pity on Nineveh? You don't have it, Jonah. You don't have any pity at all. You just have hate in your heart. Shouldn't I, God Almighty, have pity on Nineveh? It was a lead pipe since Jonah didn't have any. He just had the opposite. But God asked the prophet, should I not have it just because you don't care? Shouldn't I care? And God is telling him, I do care, and you're going to go, and those people are going to repent, and they're going to turn to God. And so I think today I will ask that question. I wonder if we really have that love for the lost like Jesus did. And you know, we're working on this film. I pray for this film all the time. And the whole purpose of that film is to bring people to Jesus. And it's put in such a way that if the invitation is given, it could go all over the world. And that's why the Christian Worship Hour has our program now almost 40 years. And that's why we're working our heads off on a film. A film is as dead as a mackerel, but God's going to take it all over the world. and there's going to be people come to Jesus. We have to have that longing. So are we sometimes like Jonah? I don't care what happens to my neighbor. He lives like the dogs. He's no good, and that's what he deserves. I'm going to tell you, friend, don't ever ask God to give you what you deserve. I never pray for justice. I pray for mercy. And somehow we have to get that. And Jesus is, and so this is just wonderful God. He's leading, guiding, and directing. And he's telling us to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. I have a heart for you. God is not willing that any should perish. All should come. Are you having a part in bringing these people to Jesus? And then quickly, God is always in control. This just jumps out of this story. Jonah's running from the Lord. God sends a tempest, almost sinks a ship. God sends the lot, and he points to Noah. Then God sends a giant fish, and then God has that fish at the right time, and he's got his mouth open. And then this monster takes this in his mouth. He swallows him in that precision of the timing. He's got to be thrown there in a storm. In the middle of the storm, they throw him out and the fish gulps him down. That takes, but you talk about a hole in one. That's perfect timing. That's God Almighty. That's my God. And he's always in control. And then God, that's not the end of the story. And then God says, I want you to go over there and I want you to burp him up. And I want you to put him right on the shores of Nineveh so they can see you come out of the ship. And wouldn't he smell like a fish when he came out? And I wonder if some of those gastric juices made him yellow. I don't know. But he came out of there looking like something, believe me. And he put him right on that shore, exact time, just as God would have it. And then there's more to the story when you read it. God prepares a gourd to shelter Jonah. He has a special worm to kill the gourd. He has an east wind to cook the prophet to make him want to turn. All these things just didn't turn. They are all from God. They're the events of God. And sometimes we wonder, where is God? He is there all the time. He is there all the time. And I guess the question I have to ask is, do you know this God? Have you accepted his son Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, you need to do so right away. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. John said, Jesus tells us in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it the best way I could give it, but it's the word, you got the word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath right. The moment you believe, hath everlasting life. You're born again. And then Jesus wasn't done. He says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life. Now you just pray that, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Now I ask you to take them away and come into my heart, take them away. And dear Jesus, I'll forsake those sins and I'll follow you the best I can. You won't be perfect, but you got to strive at that thing. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you're a child of God. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll never die. You'll be with Jesus. He'll hold you in his hands forever. And I know that all there are multitudes that are praying. Now, if you get your Bible, get the Gospel of John, read the Gospel of John and pray. If you want literature, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'll write to us, we'll send you literature wherever you are in this whole world. Or you can get on our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and there's how to be saved on that. And then you can write if you want more literature. And someday I'm going to see you in heaven. And I'm going to rejoice because of this day, this wonderful, wonderful day you prayed. Dear Jesus, please save me. Come into my heart and save me. And you're his child. And I did that 87 years ago. And he's never left me and never will. So now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the multitudes of people that just prayed that prayer. We believe that there are thousands and thousands that prayed that prayer. Now bless them and help them, Lord. And then I'm praying, dear Lord, that you'll help the sick and the lonely and the weary and the discouraged. And be with the young people as they face so many temptations. Help them to have Jesus to give them strength and help. And to the children, help them to know that you care for them and they can come to you. And we just pray that in all things you'll have your way and you'll be pleased. Want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let me give this address again, especially for shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour. Oh, wouldn't we love to hear from some of you short people, shortwave people. Maybe you're short or two, I don't know. Doesn't matter. If you're short, that's a good size. But anyway, write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And then pray for us. Pray for this ministry. Pray that people will come to Jesus. Pray that there are some people that are forsaken. There's some people that are bitter like Jonah. There's some people that drifted away and need to come back. Pray that God will use this wonderful, this ministry of the Christian Worship Hour to reach out to the ends of the earth and bring in those people, those some that have drifted away. Someone never knew you, bring them in. And oh, may there be a great ingathering. And then when we get to glory, we'll all gather around the throne of God and we'll sing about that Lamb that was slain with his shed his blood for the sins of the world. And there we are, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. We'll all be together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Savior. So now we pray that you'll help us to know that you love us. Help everybody know that we love them. And next week we'll worship again.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.